KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Rail transit between Everett and Seattle has been crippled this winter because of mudslides. Already, 163 Sounder commuter rail trips have been canceled. Ridership was already lower than expected on that line. It's one of the many issues Joni Earl deals with. She's the CEO of Sound Transit. Sound Transit is the regional agency that provides 25.8 million rides by bus, train, and light rail. They built and run the light rail from Seattle to the airport. They're building new lines north with construction underway on Capitol Hill and by Husky Stadium. There's another line scheduled to run east across the I-90 bridge. And Sound Transit also runs those express buses that you see. Joni Earl has been with the agency almost since it began back in 1999. She told the Seattle PI when she started in 2000, she'd never worked for an agency that just flat out had such a lousy reputation. Joni Earl has been widely credited with getting Seattle Sound Transit back on an even keel and with a better reputation. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
But as we were just saying, the problems do not stop.
No, they do not stop.
You can't run a commuter rail north because of all these mudslides. It's kind of crippled your service, hasn't it?
Well, we're back up and operating now.
Right
so
now,
we've
yeah.
had 2.5, almost 3 weeks of no slides. And our ridership has bounced right back to where it was before. So we haven't seen a drop in our ridership. Which in previous years, we did see a little bit of a drop after we had a period of mudslides.
Now, what happens if someone takes the train down from Everett and there's a mudslide in the middle of the day? Do you provide a bus to get them back there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. And we have regular bus service that runs to Everett. So people that are commuting to Everett, we would normally just try to put them, make sure they get to the right bus. But then we run special service direct to Mukilteo and Edmonds since they don't have service direct by bus.
This has got to be killing you, though. I mean, not only the lost riders for those particular trips that are canceled, but kind of the reputation. People might be thinking, I can't rely on this.
Yeah, it's a communication challenge. The one thing that has worked, you know, well, first off, let's just say safety first. That's the most important issue for us is safety. But we have a very transit riders are pretty robust folks when they're committed to public transit. And we've gotten commendation letters. Our riders have been very, very much wanting us to get service back. They've been trusting our judgment with, you know, let's remember here, we lease the space on the track. So, you know, we work very closely with Burlington Northern Santa Fe, who owns the right-of-way. They operate our service, and they make the calls to date on the moratoriums and how we do that. So it is a challenge, though, this has been a horrible rainy winter, and that's, you know, between Mother Nature and just the steepness of those slopes. But there's a lot of work underway to try to figure out the long-term solution.
Right, and you, Sound Transit, and also Amtrak and Burlington Northern are meeting to kind of figure out a longer-term solution to this. But, I mean, of course, it's rained a lot, yeah, and there's
right.
mudslides. But there have been mudslides for a long
Forever.
Time.
Right.
It's not like a new issue in particular. Who's responsible for making sure that those rail rights of way remain passable, for building them or reinforcing them or moving them so that they're not going to get wiped out by a mudslide?
Well, fundamentally, Burlington Northern Santa Fe, they own the right-of-way where the tracks are. They're the ones, when there's a mudslide, that have the maintenance responsibility to clear the tracks and to do the improvements. At the same time, they don't own the hillside. So that's one of the – we hear that a lot. Whose job is this? And it's why all of us, including working with the cities that have, you know, private property ownership at the top of those slopes, so there's potentially drainage issues. There's not a single solution in front of us, and that's why it's been a 100-year challenge to figure this out. Freight's been running there and other passenger service for a long time before Sound Transit was there.
So you got to go all the way up and down the track in these problem areas and somehow figure out a way to get all those private property owners to do something so that there won't be a mudslide off their property onto the tracks?
Well, we're not saying that. But at this stage, we're not saying that. But we've had instances, for instance, when there's a mudslide any year and Burlington Northern goes to try to figure out what's the cause of that mudslide. And there's been a couple cases, as an example, where there was somebody had a drainage pipe running out and they didn't realize that they were loosening up the dirt farther down the slope. And we talked to the property owner, and the property owner went, oh, and they fixed it right away. So some of it's that simple. But then it's just a lot. And it's not all in one place. So you've got, you know, a 30-mile, 40-mile, almost a 40-mile corridor there. There's concentration areas. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of geological data. There's a lot of information. And I think that the new thing that we're saying, the recent announcement between WashDOT, State DOT, and Burlington Northern, is with all of us, we're going to really, really, with this year being such a magnitude, and a new $16 million grant that we have from the federal government that DOT has, we're going to see if we can pinpoint the really critical places we could actually do something to more than what we've been trying to do to just kind of make do.
Has there been any progress? I mean, if you've got a list of 100 places where you know there are problems, are there only 90 now because you've dealt with at least some of them, for example?
They've definitely been, there's been lots of smaller improvements over the years that Burlington Northern has done, and they've put up like kind of landslide fences in some areas where it's more predictable. So I do believe that there's a list that Burlington Northern has. I can't describe what it all is sitting here today.
Now, this is just the latest issue, though. As I understand it, you've been having some trouble getting the ridership where you want it to be on that north route.
Right.
Even before this. Is that right?
Yeah. The ridership, you know, it's the most beautiful commute in the country, I am certain. I used to take it when I lived up in Everett. And ridership is not what we had hoped for early when we did it. We don't have quite as many trips. The original plan was to try to have 6 round trips, and we were only able to negotiate 4 round trips, so the service isn't as much. There's still a developing market happening, and there's been pressures, for instance, not enough parking at Edmonds and Mukilteo. We just have added 53 spots at Edmonds, and ultimately by middle of next year, we'll be at 103 new spots. Mukilteo, we're working, the city's working on a pedestrian bridge to make access easier. They're all looking at their land use zoning around the stations now that we've got the permanent infrastructure there. So there's a lot of work still to do. Is it ever going to be the type of ridership we have in the South? No, because it runs right on the west edge of the, you know, the other half is other half of the track is Puget Sound.
Yeah.
We do get ferry riders. We do good coordination with Washington State Ferries, and we're looking at some other marketing things, and now we have the Orca card. So I think we're going to continue to see growth. We've had 13% growth this year. All the attention to the ridership has actually brought us more riders, which has been interesting.
Joni Earle, the CEO of Sound Transit, is my guest. Maybe you've ridden their trains, or maybe you've ridden light rail to the airport, or maybe you're looking forward to riding it to some of the other places it's going to go, or their buses. Maybe you've got a question for Joni Earle, 206-543-5869. One question, just one more question about the commuter rail going north. I mean, it isn't perfectly located, as you said. There are these kind of ongoing problems with the mudslides going on. Is there some point, I mean, do you have to kind of look at this the way a business might? It's just not going to pan out. We're going to have to not do it. We can put people on buses. There's other ways we can serve people. This commuter rail isn't working. Do you have some point in your mind looking forward where you're going to have to fish or cut bait on this?
Well, definitely our board has been looking at the Citizens Oversight Panel that is attached to Sound Transit, an independent panel. They did a report, I think, back in June that raised a lot of questions about this. And they had a series of recommendations. But one was that as we continue to try to build ridership, that there at some point, do we reach that? And their suggestion was monitor and be looking at it, you know, in about the 2020 timeframe again. There is a lot of support within Snohomish County. And let's be clear, Snohomish County sub area is who pays for all of that service. And the want for it up there is still very high.
And we should point out that this is kind of it's a regional beast, and it's got Snohomish County and King County and Pierce County and all of them participating in the funding. And there's also formulas so that people who pay their taxes in those areas get something out of it. And this is one of the things. We're at 206-543-5869 if you've got a question for Joni Earle, as does Sue Ellen, who's giving us a call today. She's calling from Whidbey Island. Sue Ellen, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Thank you very much for taking my call. Recently, I tried to ride from the Mukilteo Ferry to Columbia City, and that involved taking Sound Transit train and then the Light Link. And I must tell you that last year we traveled for 7 weeks in Europe with few language skills, and it was far easier to negotiate our way through Paris and across Italy than it was to ride Sound Transit. There are no signs. There are no announcements on the trains, you have to guess at what the stop is. The stop where you get off to transfer to the light link doesn't say that. There's no announcement. It's got another, you know, it's not the King Street Station, and there's no signage as to where to transfer. When you get off the train, there's nothing to guide you to the light link location. So you have to kind of look around and follow people around.
So, Ellen, this is a good question. So, like, information going just from one part of Sound Transit to the other, you're having had a real hard time doing that when you went on that particular route you took. Joni Earle, is this an acknowledged problem on your part?
Yes, and thank you, Sue Ellen, for the feedback on that. And I'm sorry that the difficulty. We are actually right now, we started it about 4 or 5 months ago because of various feedback that we've gotten about it, trying to improve and looking at how can we improve those linkages. And I'm surprised on the station announcement, but I, being a writer now from Tacoma, I think she's got a really great point that I even haven't personally thought about, which is when you come into King Street, you see people get off the commuter rail. Some are catching buses. Some are going across the street to go down into the downtown transit tunnel to get on light rail. And some are just pedestrians, you know, and bicyclists heading up wherever they're going to go next. And we don't do an announcement right there. And so that's we'll add this to our look at all of our signings that we're doing right now.
Sue Ellen, are you giving up or will you try it again?
Well, I may have given up at least for the time being, because then I got off and trying to find a bus. The only bus that was posted was one that was canceled to get to where I needed to get. And it was pretty stressful and frustrating in the cold and rain. And I think that the people who run the system kind of make assumptions that everybody's a commuter and everybody rides it all the time, rather than thinking, you know, there are visitors, there are people who don't ride it who are trying it out. And once you have a bad experience, you go,
yeah, that's true. One bad experience puts you off it altogether. Sue Ellen, if you do try it again, will you call us back next time we have Joni Earle on, and you can tell us whether things changed?
Okay, maybe she could put up signs. And, you know, when the light rail or the train reaches either Edmonds or Mukilteo, it doesn't say this is the place to get off to go to the Kingston Ferry. This is the place to get off to go to the Whidbey Island
right.
Ferry.
That's very basic stuff. And she's Joni Earle's writing notes here as you are saying that, Sue Ellen. I appreciate your phone call. But her kind of larger point was the system assumes you are comfortable with these things, and many people are not. They're doing it for the first time or they haven't done it very much.
It is a constant challenge. And I say that I was just in Washington, D.C., and every time I go into another city, I always try public transit. So I'm the newbie trying to, you know, figure out their ticket vending machines and all of that. And we're always looking for what's the right magic here in terms of the right places for the information, the right ways to do the connections. There's not probably a transit system in the U.S. right now that completely has it down, but we're trying. We really are trying to improve on it. When we get this feedback, we throw it back into the mix of the efforts we have underway. A lot of stuff going on right now that we're looking at, and some new improvements about airport signage to get on light rail. This connection that she's raising is really, really, I've not heard that one before, and so that's, my staff maybe have, but I haven't, so I'm going to put that right in the mix.
We've got Paul on the line. He's calling today from Fremont, and he's also got a question about coordination with other transit services. Paul, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you. This past week, I went from Fremont through downtown to Issaquah and out to Falls City on bus, and I took a metro, King County Metro downtown. Then I had to transfer to Sound Transit, and of course they wouldn't accept my paper transfer. I got out there, and I ended up back on a metro bus, so I had to pay several times for what should have been a relatively smooth trip. Who's looking at the coordination between King County Metro and Sound Transit and other metro systems? And are you going to somehow make it easier, smoother, so one day it's integrated?
A good question, Paul. So who's looking at it? Do you acknowledge there is a problem with that coordination, Joni Earle, and what's being done about it?
Well, we can always improve on the coordination. There is a lot of coordination that does go on today, and probably the biggest one is the ORCA regional transit fare card. So in the example, and thank you for the question, Paul, in that example, had you had an ORCA card, you don't have to have one that just comes from an employer. If you go and you were to purchase one and put your own cash value on it, You can actually use that and tap through each one, and you don't have the transfer problem at all. And that's been our big coordination effort, is to get to this type of a fair media. But we recognize right now there's still paper transfers. People are still using cash and paper transfers, and that coordination effort is one that we continue to work on. But our focus has been to use the Orca card as the way to make this seamless for customers.
Paul, thanks a lot for your phone call. Earlier this month, the Washington State Auditor's report found Sound Transit spent $318,000 in late fees for security and policing. In one case, Sound Transit paid $126,000 to a company called Securitas, and it was a penalty because apparently the bill was not paid on time. The Seattle PI said that your chief of security told auditors he'd budgeted for the late fees, and I kind of read that and was kind of banging my head. Why didn't you just pay the bill on time in the first place?
Can I just say, when I read that, I was banging my head too. I was not, that was not a good day for us. I did not realize that that was going on, and we have since, taken steps internal to the agency about that. The reality of what happened, though, is that we have, and this is not an excuse, it's just the reality, we have two people in our security that's doing the security that has the Securitas as our contractor. They're spread across three counties, Securitas is. So his first and foremost energy was going into making sure we have security at all of our bus centers and on the train. They do our fare enforcement, all of that. So he was focused on the work and was not, as the contract manager, not prioritizing this part of his job. And he hadn't been asking for help, and I did not know, and neither did my deputy, who he actually reported to, and she's not with the agency now, but at the time, did not know that he was having this trouble. And the bills, the way they were structured, are really complicated, and it was taking a lot of time, and he didn't prioritize. Not acceptable.
I'm going to say I get dinged for late fees, too, yeah. But I think we would expect the public agency in particular,
absolutely,
with public tax dollars going in it, not to do that. So what's the outcome that's going to fix this? Did anyone lose their job over it?
I'm not going to go into the personnel side of it. It has. I talked with our board about it, and using this as an example, we don't believe that we have a major problem in the agency, but what I said to the board was, I didn't know about this one, and neither did our contract staff. So we asked the board to select. They do an annual performance audit each year, and we asked them and recommended that they have us have an outside auditor look at our contracting practices in the area of goods and services. We've done a ton of work on the capital side, and our audit was really, really clean on capital contract administration. But this falls under what we call goods and services, and we're having ourselves audited, yeah, to make sure this isn't a rampant problem versus a contract manager that screwed up.
We're just about out of time, so this won't happen again?
I sure as heck hope not. We are doing everything we can. I have 600 employees, and we're continuing to do training and mentoring, and I don't want it to happen again, and they all know that.
Joni Earl, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it when you spend the time. Joni Earl, CEO of Sound Transit. David Hyde produces the show with Arwin Nix. We get production help from Cameron Drews, and Bernard Ouellette is the engineer. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at KUOW.org.